you're listening to Networking Singles, your radio show experiment and psychosocial aspects of dating, relationships, the singles industry, and all things social. I'm your host, Southern New England's most realistic matchmaker, John Holt, bringing you the show every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. to noon, right here on 980 WXLM. My guest for the first hour of this show is Michael Cavallaro, author of a book titled The 55 Concepts, A Guide to Conscious Living. Michael's website is www.livingconcepts.com. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Hello. Thank you, John.
How are you today?
Great. How about you?
Good.
Glad to be here.
Now, mastering the art of being conscious, of being somebody who, you know, things that, how do you apply logic to this great idea that you have of the awareness of, you know, being human?
Well, logic is what it's all about. If it's not logical, reasonable, and rational, which is one of the concepts, it's really difficult to use. So everything that you do has to make sense, and it has to work in your life. So it's not just a theory or a concept.
So if I had to ask you your take on what life is all about these days and the life that you see around you, the people you see around you, the culture you see around you, what would you say to me?
The take on that is it's a resultant of belief systems and perceptions. And yours included is the way that you perceive the world, the way that the world is real to you.
Now, based on what you just told me, what do you think, I guess maybe we could say the perceptual mechanisms are right on target, or are they a little bit, they gone a little bit awry?
I'd say they're pretty much awry. they're all skewed by our own limited judgments and limited perceptions. And if I had to say a foundation of that comes from what you learned as a child, the belief systems that you picked up as a child, then, you know, you're interpreting the world as a child, that becomes your truth, and then you become an adult interpreting through those filters.
So now your website and your organization provide, maybe you could tell my audience what you provide in terms of helping people become, I guess for any other way to explain it, better human beings.
What we provide is the opportunity for you to open up to your own inner wisdom, to see the distortions in your own perceptions or filters, and basically find practical, logical ways to change your experience of life. We work from relationships to individual, to personal growth, to even spirituality to some degree. It's about you discovering self. There is no real model. It's your model. And we assist in facilitating the discovery of your own self.
Now, the people that participate in this, what kind of results do you see or are reported back to you, or I guess based on observations of people after they come out of this program?
We'll say this all is based on the application. If the person applies the information and it actually works, it's actually that practical. What I've seen and heard from different people is that it's ultimately either saved relationships, allowed them to create new ones or ones that really work for them, the discovery of why they think like they think, why they approach relationships like they did, why they approach the world like they did, and it gives them a whole new perspective on life in which to create a different experience for themselves.
Now, can you tell the audience about your course on human mastery and how, with the bigger picture, how they would get involved with your organization?
Okay, well, the bigger picture with that would be simply going to the website and contacting us. And I believe you misquoted the website. It is livingconceptsandthenumber1.com.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. But to go to the website and contact us through there, through the info at, and The human mastery course has several levels. One is the ultimate one, the ultimate package is the deepest package, which gives you the whole perspective of, we'll say it, a human being's life and real practical, maybe what we'll call deeper insight from a little outside the box perspective. We also have a parenting, relationships, a belief change, all are subcategories in the courses that are available. And so anyone who's interested, just even for more information or even just a brief consultation, please contact us on the website.
How did you come by this idea that you have in doing these things?
Life experience and evolution. You know, about 40 years ago it began for me. And witnessing people and being really intuitively connected for myself and realizing how that works and the difference between my intuition and my own human experience and judgment and recognizing how they often seem the same but weren't and often confuse life and learn through my own progression, through my own personal growth, my own practical experience, experimentations, and failures and successes, if you will, then actually moving into mentoring people some 30 plus years ago and seeing commonalities in what happens in humanity using some psychological understanding, but there's a lot that goes beyond the psychological part, which for me, and not to get a little too esoteric, but it also includes some quantum physics and some new belief understandings and some new sciences that are occurring. So all that has evolved, and really all through practical experience and the experience with others.
Now, in your experiences with people who you come in contact with based on what you do, and from listening to them, what can you tell me about the general overall set of information that you get from people?
Pretty much humanity all across the board struggles with very similar things that is simply culturally different. I've worked with people in almost every culture and even some people that barely spoke English. And it all seems to be a common thread. And the core of this that I have witnessed is that there are belief systems set in place early in life that they are unaware of. They assume to be absolute truth because they were assimilated as a part of their identity. And their inability and the lack of education that these beliefs are not necessarily them as a person, but simply tools or mechanisms in which we perceive the world. So by understanding those belief systems and the way that that works, you can really begin to see how your life evolved like it did and why you got into the situations that you're in. The other common thing is typically most people would like to, let's say even me in my earlier years, would blame the outside world for the circumstances and other people's behaviors. But when I came to the realization that it was really all about me. So contrary to what people would like to believe, or some people even say sarcastically, the world does revolve around you. It's all about the way that you perceive it. It's all the way about you experience and respond to those perceptions, which then create the response of the world to you. And when you understand that, I've seen all the different cultures, when they understand that, they actually can change the way the world responds by changing the way that they perceive.
Well, that's a large undertaking. My own belief is that largely, I guess I would say more controlled, the points of view that come across with most people is based on perception.
Agreed.
Perception becomes the reality.
Agreed.
So as a result of, now I'm a matchmaker. I've done matchmaking for 24 years. And I deal with people in dating and to build relationships with hopefully for the right person for longevity purposes. Quite often, though, my experiences over that 24-year period in dealing with feedback with people would be that a lot of them would have perceptions about an individual, and I would say, well, I interviewed the same individual, and I have a whole different idea about this person.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Quite often, people get together, it seems, based on these perceptions, later to find out the reality of what really exists.
Right, and in the concepts, one of the concepts is that there are no relationship issues; there are only individual ones. So, basically speaking, to what you just said, it's not really ever about the other person; it's only the way you perceive the other person. And what might have sounded like a large explanation, let me narrow it down to practical, is when you understand why you see the world the way you do, you begin to see the world differently. That changes the way you interact with those other people and see their issues or whatever you would like to call them.
Now, what is the key to getting people to think this way?
It's really more, it's not about a key to getting them to think that way, but to realize the practicality of what has happened. And by seeing the logic and the progress is actually what makes the change. It's really hands-on. It's experiential. It's not theoretically. So a simple way to look at is look at the way that your parents, or whether it was a single-parent household or a two-parent household, or same-gender household, it doesn't really make any difference. The way they interacted influenced the way that you perceive relationships. How did it work? How did it not work? Another thing that's common that I've seen is that if people have come from, let's say, a less-than-kind relationship, they typically look unconsciously for the other person to be unkind at some point, which is a self-sabotage, if you will, but at the same time, it's a supporting a belief system that was created as a child.
Well, my guest is Michael Cavallaro. We are going into a break, Michael. You're listening to Networking Singles on 980 WXLM. We'll be right back. Have you examined your role in life? Well, if each person examined their role in life, they'd understand the impact that would make change in the dating culture. I really do. I really think we need to change the dating culture, folks out there. It's a different way of approaching things, a different way of looking at things. You know, if you want to bring about changes in your dating life, go to www.tri-statedatingservice.com. Take a look. You know, see what it's all about. Pledging to work harder than ever to apply logic to your lifestyle. You're listening to Networking Singles on 980 WXLM. I'm your host. I'm Southern New England's most realistic matchmaker, John Holt. I've got my guest here is Michael Cavallaro. His website is www.livingconceptsthenumeral1.com. Michael, you mentioned some key words that sort of trigger a discussion with me. Self-sabotage.
Right. Yes.
I see a lot of people who engage in self-sabotage. How do we get them out of that mindset?
Okay, this is my perspective. My perspective and the experience with people is that self-sabotage is actually a self-fulfilled prophecy based upon an unconscious belief system that relationships fail, they're not good enough, they don't deserve love, etc. If the person can recognize these issues that they carry and change those, then the self-sabotage naturally changes.
So it's a question of training the mind to think a certain way.
Yeah, in a way, but it's also, there's a belief in the heart of that person somewhere that they weren't lovable, they weren't loved the way they needed to be loved, that they need someone else to provide a feeling for them. That belief that they carry in their heart is what causes the mind to sabotage their experience.
Now, what happens when we start to talk about the communication skills of people?
Well, that's a long topic. Huh?
You can see my mind revolving, can't you?
Yes, I can. That's pretty funny. See, well, when you get into communication, that's where it all begins or ends, so to speak. You have people that communicate very clearly. You have people that communicate completely out of their emotions. And then you have people that completely communicate out of their mind. And all those, it is just, again, my perspective and my experience that based upon a person's belief system, the way they perceive and experience the world causes their communication to be successful or not successful. It is where they unconsciously and sometimes consciously make statements that are purposefully not clear, which support the self-sabotage, which then would provide them with not being loved or not being acceptable, or it creates some other success because they have mastered how to word it. But, boy, communication is a huge topic.
Now, there are people listening to this radio show who maybe would be listening to what you're saying today, and they might want to get involved. What normally brings a person to the point where they decide they want to get involved in your courses and the concepts that you have?
Typically what's happened is they've approached all the traditional methods and found that they've been less than successful in a way that they would like. And they're looking for something more that we're going to say works, takes them to the next level. And at that point, they're just seeking, and they want something that actually works, that can be practically applied and take them past what they've learned. And at that point, they usually come, and it's usually a decision. Do I want to do this, or do I like the theory of it? Because like you said a minute ago, this seems to be a big undertaking. And a lot of times people say, oh, I don't know if I can really look at myself like that, or if I look at myself, what will I discover? So sometimes that hesitancy, they choose not to move forward because there's a lot you have to look at yourself. Really, this is about personal responsibility, your own self-empowerment, and understanding that you can do this yourself. And that puts you in a whole better place. So people come to that decision and they move forward or they move away because they're not quite ready yet.
You know, Michael, I once wrote a blog article I have like 300 blog articles on my website. If anybody listening to the show, www.tri-statedatingservice.com, take a look at the blog. I wrote a blog article one time about the inner mirror. The inner mirror is harder to look into than the one that we look at. That's the glass mirror that we see our outer self.
Yes, I would agree.
And I've talked to people about this, because if you can't look at the inner mirror, you're not ready to date and you're not ready to get into a relationship. Not until know thyself.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. When you know yourself and you know what you do, on one hand, it's knowing your habits and your behaviors. Where I take a little different step is when you understand how you acquired those behaviors and those perceptions, now you're really ready to be a partner.
And you know, it's always difficult, isn't it, for people to have to even mention the word change, let alone do it.
Yeah. Well, the theory is a lot more fun than the practicality.
The practicality, I would assume, is it goes back to the words you use, personal growth.
Yeah.
I mean, personal growth is another aspect of how people can get into relationships and thrive in them. Because once we stop growing inside the relationship begins to plateau and then it begins to die on the vine.
Absolutely. I would agree. Because if you don't keep growing, and growing isn't really a scary thing. It just means evolving in your awareness and self-discovery and more adventuresome in the world and about yourself. And once that does plateau, you're correct. It tends to just get stale, and at some point, somebody gets tired of the staleness, and then it begins to deteriorate on the vine, as you said.
Now, what would you point out as the real keys to sustain long-lasting relationships?
It is two partners that are both willing to look at what you call the inner mirror, that are both willing to see what belongs to them and be willing to change that. If you can continue to do that, you're going to discover that you really rarely have any issues with the partner. It's always just about something that's going on within you. And if you can do that and you have two people that are willing and agreed to continue to look at themselves and share that with each other without blame, without accusation, you will have a self-sustaining and a self-perpetuating relationship.
Well, see, you now mentioned another key word, which was another blog article that I wrote titled The Culture of Blame. I wrote that one too, Michael.
That's awesome.
And the culture of blame is alive and well too. I talk to especially divorced people, people that got divorced, that are involved, were involved in bad marriages, and you talk to them and you see the blame being thrown around all over the place.
Yes. In some ways it reflects back to your other article. It's a whole lot easier to blame than to look in the mirror.
Ah, well, that's true, because I once ran into a woman who actually listened to my radio show and became a member of my service. And I matched her with three men. In feedback, I used to talk to her, and she was threw the blame around everywhere. So I said to her one day, because she was beginning to get angry, and I said to her, I have to ask you a question. She said, what? I said, you blamed your mother-in-law and father-in-law, your mother and father, your kids, your ex-husband. I said, the three men that I matched you up with and me. I said, for everything that's going on. I said, but let me ask you a question, though. She said, what? I said, are you ever wrong? Now, I didn't get a good response back, Michael.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure of that.
And I'm not going to say the words on the radio. I'm not allowed to say that she said to me at that point. But, I think I struck a nerve, though. I always want to get people to think.
Yes.
And this radio show really, in many ways, is about getting people to think. And in the thought process, it's very important. And a lot of the things we've discussed already on this show today are very important. Getting people to think a certain way about how to really make their lives much more richer and much better.
Yes. The key to that, from my perspective, is that if you as the individual can own that you create the way you perceive everything, you can change anything. And some of the problems is like people that respond in blame are often that they're in a position of, I'm not good enough, I'm not lovable, I'm not acceptable, and they're in such harsh judgment of themselves that their ego cannot stand that mirror because it burns them rather than reflects. But if they can understand that where they're at actually isn't their fault, to begin with, it stems from that programming or those beliefs that you assumed as a child and carried them through as truth, and you can say, oh, those weren't even mine to begin with. Well, maybe I can be responsible without feeling guilty or ashamed or not good enough. And that opens people to realize that all the problems they're having isn't aren't really their fault. But now that they know about them, it is their responsibility.
Now, that's really powerful, what you just said, because I would assume, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, when you're dealing with people who go through this process, that
yeah.
I would imagine, now, I could be wrong, but I would imagine it gets kind of emotional, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, it gets emotional. It oftentimes gets hostile, like you just referred to, because what happens is all of the ego defense mechanisms come up. Because there is this sometimes, and we'll use this as an example, sometimes there's this core belief of not being lovable or good enough that if the person really looks at that, they almost feel like it's going to devastate their life. So their emotions come up to prevent looking at it. Their anger comes up. Their blame comes up, all to avoid it. And it's not because they're bad people. It's because their ego is actually in preservation mode. And it's autopilot. But the more they become conscious and they get through those emotions and those hostilities, and they begin to see that, wow, I didn't actually just make this all up. It's a result of cultural influence. And I can actually change that. Then it shifts those emotions to wanting to discover what's next. How do I move forward? How do I make that change? How do I find that partner? How do I become happy in my own life?
Now, values which are part of these belief systems that you talk about.
Yeah.
Now, those values that come from the learning phase when we're in childhood and then start to form and sort of get cemented in by the time we're 25 years old.
Right.
It I guess, you know, value system matching is one of the things that I look at, because I'll ask people numerous questions when I take them on as clients. And the value system questions are all there and in place. And there's a core set of values that people have, but sometimes these core set of values aren't exactly either understood internally or they're not the right set of values that will make people get involved in great relationships.
Yes. I mean, partly that is, and at one point I'm going to say my opinion on when they get cemented in is probably a good majority of these belief systems are set in by the time you're 6 or 7 years old.
That's interesting.
And part of the problem with that is many of them are precognitive, meaning they're before you can actually think or discern. They're just kind of intuitively assimilated as a child. So those are the ones that people cannot identify because they are so, we'll say, sensate rather than intellectual values that they've witnessed it and it's gone into their subconscious without judgment, without question, that it's just the truth. They assume it's them, and then when you ask them, what is it, they'll just say, I don't know, it's just the truth, because there was no cognitive part in this assimilation of these beliefs. So this is where people then struggle, because I can't explain it, I don't know why, it's just the truth. Anybody who tells you that is typically either in denial or it's a precognitive developed belief system that they have no languaging for, because at that age there was no languaging system for the child.
Well, now we get to the point of denial, though. How do we get them out of that part of the process?
Yeah, that's like we can't get them out of anything. it's always a choice. We can coach them. We can mentor them. We can show them different roads or avenues to choose, but it ultimately comes from the person at their core, at their heart. Their heart has to desire change more than anything else, and that's really the only motivator for real change.
So your real purpose then is to motivate and inspire people, you know, let them become curious, let them have courage, let them have the flexibility to want to change, to want to become that better human. Well, I'm John Holt. I'm your host of Networking Singles. We're going into a break right now. We'll be back. Well, you're listening to Networking Singles, which is a labor of love in broadcasting, right here on 980 WXLM. I'm your host. I'm Southern New England's most realistic matchmaker, John Holt. You know, I want to motivate you to develop the kind of values that will influence our culture and be better for people and the lives that they live. You can be a catalyst. You don't have to sit back. You can be a catalyst to change things for the better. You know, being supportive, speaking about people, in terms of building relationships, showing great interest in the people that you are with are, you know, some of the keys to building positive relationships. My guest is Michael Cavallaro. His website is www.livingconceptsandthenumeral1.com. Michael, how realistic is it to get people to engage in making changes in their lives? I mean, maybe we could put a percentage on it. I mean, how often do you run into people, and is it 1 in 4 that actually make the conversion, or what would you say it is?
If I had to say, it's probably maybe 1 in 8.
Okay.
The numbers, what happens is that they like the idea, but often when it comes to application and looking at that mirror is when they get a little scared.
Well, I've often said, Michael, that, you can't change the whole world, but if you can change a little piece of it, you're successful.
Yes. And even if you can just share the information, because even the people that I work with that don't return, let's say, to really commit to it, have still learned something. That's still shifted their life. And now they have the option to work with something they didn't know existed before. And it's my perspective that no matter where you are, no matter how bad or good things look, it can always be better. And anything can be changed. There's nothing in the years that I've been doing this, there's been no particular situation that has not been able to change. And so so everybody knows, everything can be changed. All you have to do is have the desire and the application.
Well, it's about creating the life that we want, and sometimes people get really, you know, comfortable in complacency.
Yes,
and
they do.
The unfortunate aspect of that, is that then they remain in where they are, and if they're not liking where they are, then, you know, in complacency becomes a greater problem then.
Yes, and you know, that's one of the reasons what led me to write the 55 Concepts book is that it gives people a practical tool that allows them to begin to perceive their life differently. And you can apply it every day. And it's very simply written, but if anyone does look at this book, you need to know that this is deep. It travels many levels. And the simplicity of some of the concepts is just, like, for example, the woman who was in blame. One of the concepts is that people don't do things to you, they do things for themselves. Whatever someone does is always about their perception of the world and how it's going to serve them. That always comes first. And so if you understand that, it also takes you a little bit out of victimhood. And you can realize that, oh, they may not have been necessarily attacking me. They just wanted something different than I did. It didn't coincide with mine. And it makes it a little less hurtful, if you will.
How does somebody get your book, Michael?
They can visit our website online and just go to our store, our products page, and the book is available there by download. And there's also an audio of the same book.
Now, have you ever heard of the concept victim to victor?
Yes.
I mean, that's what we want to do, don't we? We want to turn people from either feeling they're victims or being victims to becoming victorious.
Yes, victorious in the sense that they're self-empowered, that they created their own life, and life wasn't creating their experience.
It's all out there for people to grab if they really want it.
Yep, I agree. And again, as we were saying before, is that it's the desire of the person. It's what's in your heart. Are you really there, or is it just a concept that you're thinking about? And there's nothing wrong with any of those stages, because they often all lead to the same road. You know, all roads lead to the heart. Just some people take longer roads and some people take shorter roads.
If you run into people who talk to you and you listen to what they have to say, what ultimately do you do to motivate them to step on the other side and start to take a look at things?
The motivation comes in discovering where they're truly at. My ability to read or understand what a person is really feeling in their heart allows me to assist them in opening up to what they really want. Those methods, those techniques are all a little varied based upon the individual, because everybody's slightly different. But it is about awakening to themselves and showing them that, yes, there is a way, it is safe, try these things, and you can move forward. And encouraging them that it's just a matter of application. It's no magical formula. It's not limited to some people, and only some people are lucky, and only some people find love. No, that's not true. It's finding it within yourself. And one of the biggest things is the self-judgment people hold on themselves. When we can discover the self-judgment that people have on themselves and realize where it came from, that it really wasn't ever theirs, that they actually start to wake up and they start to feel freer.
Everyone's capable of achieving more in life, aren't they?
Absolutely. I 100% agree.
And, you know, if you're sitting out there listening to this radio show and you think that, well, my past was this and my present is that, and maybe it's a negative thought, your future can be different.
Yes.
If you embrace this.
Yep. I would you said a little key thing. My past was this. The problem with everyone who struggles is that somewhere in their mind they struggle with the past. And the past sort of lays a blanket on their future. If they could realize that the past was the past and it's no longer in their present, they wouldn't carry quite as many traumas or fears or worries. This carrying the past is really one of the biggest problems to creating your own life.
And that's really... that was really great what you just said, and I'll tell you why. Because I deal with a lot of single people who can't let go of the past relationships. And as a result of that, you can't really move forward until you let go of that.
Yes. Yes. And even if you think you let go of it, sometimes they drag it along. Because what's happened is in the back of their mind, the wound was so great, they're trying to use their logic to move forward, but then they're always in fear in the back of their mind, looking and waiting for all the signals that will tell them it's going to be terrible again. And that's still holding on to the past. So it's really getting to that frees you. And I'm going to say a little challenging concept that I use in the book. And it describes the word hurt. Now, we all have hurts. We all have traumas. We all have perceived pain. But as I describe hurt, hurt is not getting what you want. Broken down to the very core level. I didn't get the love I wanted. I didn't get the response I wanted. I didn't get the caring I wanted. You didn't receive something that you wanted. This is not to say that it's not logical what you wanted or even reasonable that you wanted. But your judgment, you didn't get what you wanted, now has determined your perception of hurt.
You know, that's key too, Michael, because when I deal with singles who get rejected by people, rejection is a powerful hurt. And unfortunately, a string of rejections makes it even worse. So what happens is I always take a look at, well, where are we in that part of the process, and how can we affect change so that there won't be rejection in the future? So we look at that. But it's very, very powerful for the people going through it, because all they see is inadequacy.
Yeah. And see, I can spin off on that. A little example is that if you see yourself as inadequate, unlovable, undesirable, somewhere at your core you have this belief, then anything anyone does that even stimulates that to be true, you can fall into that wound, and now the wound becomes greater than it really is. And it's really about the judgment of self. When you really recognize and look at that mirror we were talking about, you will notice, if you can really see, that anything that really is causing your problems is core in your own self-judgment. I'm not saying it's not common, it's not logical. I'm just saying that if I have a judgment of not being lovable, I'm going to look for markers, subconsciously or consciously, to see that someone is proving that I am not lovable. And if you see that and change that belief about self and that self-judgment, you will see and experience the world entirely differently.
Now, what about the blend of conscious spiritual life with functional human life? What would you say to people about that?
Conscious spiritual life?
Yes.
I think they're one and the same. They're not really separate. I believe that culturally we've been commonly taught that they're separate. And I would say they're not separate. They're one and the same. And by keeping them separate, it almost polarizes your perspective of life. And for me, the spiritual life is just about being connected. It is about the love of things. It is about the nature. It is about the wholeness of things. It's not related to any particular dogma. And, you know, if you integrate particular dogmas into your personal life, well, then there's judgment within those dogmas about what's right and what's wrong and what's good and what's bad. I would say that every human being knows in their heart of hearts what is right for them and what is not, if they could really hear it.
Now, with all the things that we discussed in this hour and are a part of the repertoire of what you do, what is your take on the laws of attraction? I believe the laws of attraction, but I also want to expand this a little bit, because the laws, if all of the things that you talked about are applied, the laws of attraction change for people, because when like attracts like, you're attracting a different person when we get to the level of where you want to take people.
Yes, I have a little take on that. My take is that there is no such thing as the law of attraction. My take is that there is a law of resonation. It's more of a physics thing.
Okay.
When you resonate at a certain consciousness, the whole world begins to resonate in that way through your perception. You don't draw anything to you. You actually create that experience because it's your perception. And if you change into whatever being you want to be, the world will resonate with you, and what is resonant with that will show up. Sometimes the law of attraction, and I've spoken to many people, and sometimes the law of attraction is used with, well, if I think this way and I behave this way, these things will occur. And I would say that it has been my experience that they can temporarily occur, but if you haven't changed those core beliefs, the law of attraction will continually be temporary, and you will eventually fall back into the core beliefs that are in there because they resonate at a certain frequency, and that frequency attracts you back to that whether you like it or not. No matter how much you try to overpower it with your mind or intent. But if you're resonant, which means your whole core that you see yourself as, is at this one place, then you can't have anything but that. you will never fall back into anything, and you will continually move in a different way.
So one of the most important things, one of the most important things about matching people is based on these value systems.
Yes, yes. And I would say, it's not like I'm totally disagreeing with the law of attraction as much as I'm saying there's a refinement. So I would agree with you with those systems that you're talking about. When someone resonates, those resonance will then get along and they will harmonize. And then there becomes that harmony that you're seeking. I agree with your whole philosophy, your whole idea. I just have a few little different takes on some things. That's all.
So what's the meaningful relationship then? What's the definition of that, or is it numerous definitions?
It's typically numerous and based upon the individual, but I usually use a wholesome approach to say that a meaningful relationship is some relationship that you resonate with another person, enjoy each other, and are able to work with each other to experience life together as partners and equals and enjoy life.
Well, Mike, go ahead and finish that point.
That's okay. Go ahead, John.
We're unfortunately coming to the end of the hour, but I really appreciate having you on Networking Singles this week, Michael. A lot of insight. Thank you so much for being a guest here.
Thank you, John. I really appreciate it and enjoyed you. Thank you.
You're welcome.